Hello and welcome to the SOM TV podcast. My name is Jason Wise, the director of all three of the SOM films and the creator of SOM TV, our new streaming network app that is launching on August 4th worldwide. Man, we are really close to that, and I am definitely not terrified. Today, we are going to talk about that streaming network with the head producer of all the films and all of this content. Her name is Christina Wise, and she is also my wife. So this is the first time for me to do anything like this. Before we get started, make sure you go to somtv.com and register your email address. That's where all the information is going to be coming besides these podcasts on what it is, what's playing, what we have in the works. And kind of we're going to do kind of an open forum communication for feedback, because once we launch, we really do want to hear from you guys. What you like, what you don't like, what you want more of. This is going to be a really interesting process. I've never seen anything like it. So make sure you go to somtv.com, put your email address in. Without further ado, here we go. Episode 4 with Christina Wise. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Is this weird? We've never done anything like this.
No, we haven't.
Is it weird?
It's a little weird.
Okay, good. I like to keep things moderately weird. The voice you hear is the film's producer, the film's writer, the woman I'm married to.
Your better half.
My mostly better half. Nobody is always perfect. And she is joining me to talk about, we want to talk about SOM TV, but we want to do it in a roundabout fashion, because the SOM movies themselves and the people who are in them have been in our lives really since, I think, the two of us have been most of our careers.
Right.
Prior to the SOM movies, her and I and another person that we work with here, Jackson, did a PBS travel show together.
Yes.
And we met before that. I was engaged to you.
So, yeah, Jason and I started dating in 2004, our senior year at Chapman University.
We're only telling you guys this just so you understand kind of the strange dynamic that exists within our production company is to work with your spouse and to work with some of your best friends. And it's a very, very interesting thing. So we were dating and went to film school, met there.
Right. But then went on and had other jobs, and I worked at TV Guide for years. I did live sports. Jason,
I have stayed completely out of the adult film industry somehow since yeah. since I came to Los Angeles, which is, I think, an honor.
Win. It's kind of been funny. We have a show on SOM TV called Verticals. And, you know, vertical is when you go through a wine and it's particular vintage, and each year you can taste how the wine is different. Well, verticals,
vintage, you know, vintage is in order,
yes,
or you know, whatever.
But for verticals, we sit down with the winemakers and they open the years that have kind of influenced and changed their life.
I'm so excited about this show.
And so we thought it'd be fun. Today is our 9th wedding anniversary, July 17th. So we thought it would be fun.
15 wonderful years of marriage.
15 wonderful years together. 9 years married.
That's right.
We didn't get married right away.
Yes.
But I think it would be fun. 2010 was the year we got married, and that was also the year we started filming SOM. So I think it's fun to go through our 9 years and our journey through all of these movies, because pretty much there hasn't been a year where a SOM movie has not been involved.
Yeah, right. And I think it'll also give a relatively decent picture as to why we are launching, why we're going to what is the next step of this kind of SOM TV thing, which is to do this full streaming network of programming, kind of why we came to this. So let me start with 2010.
Yep.
2010 is a really fascinating time, because I had never made a feature film. I wanted to make a film more than I wanted anything in my life. I would say it was the most important thing in my life, without a question. But now I have children. Now that's different. But at that time, the only thing in the world that I truly cared about was, how do I make a feature film? And, you know, if you listen to these podcasts and you listen to with Brian, you may have some idea that I was trying to make a very different movie when SOM came about. And the very first person I actually filmed with was Ian Cobble. It wasn't Brian. It wasn't Fred Dame. It wasn't any of this stuff. I took a camera that I had saved my entire life savings. I want to say the whole thing was about $3,500, $4,000 maybe. And I went up and I started filming Ian taking his first exam. And for a little bit of step back, that exam is not in the movie. It's not in SOM 1. It's never been seen. It will be part of
it. It did not make the final cut.
But it will be on SOM TV as a sort of prequel to SOM 1. I can't believe I'm even saying that. but it's true. And it's actually quite riveting, especially when, you know, we can play with the fact you know what ultimately happens. And so it's interesting to play with this structure. But that I took this one camera, just me, no sound guy, no other camera guy, and I went up and filmed Ian. And this exam was very fascinating because I think right away I realized I was going to shift all of my attention, which was at that point on a little film I wanted to make that took place during World War I, not a documentary, a film with actors, set in Champagne. So it was only peripherally about wine. I set all of that aside, and I said to Christina, who is a kind of a brilliant story mind, she's the reason these films make sense. And I said to her, I think this is something. I think we should start filming. And little did I know, this film was going to take 4 effing years to complete, and you know, the journey of finding distribution.
2 from this point, or 3.
I don't know. I mean, it might have taken 4. Well,
you know, I'm a good wife because I'm good at correcting you.
Oh man, I'm not touching that. Okay, so that was 2010. So I started filming
you. 2010, yeah. And you know, I remember we weren't that close with the guys, but we were close with Brian. And I remember part of why he couldn't make it to our wedding was because he was so busy slammed studying for this exam. So move forward in February of 2011. Was the exam you saw in Psalm 1. So it's like January, February. Jason was driving to San Francisco once a week. I mean, he'd come home for a few days and then go back up between the time that the boys were studying and then they took the exam in Dallas.
And at this point, my crew is 2 people. It's myself and our now current partner, Jackson, who's a saint to work with a husband and wife team. And the two of us would drive up with... In most cases, this is not a joke, with maybe $30, $40, yeah. Just enough gas money to get up there and turn around, very little for anything to eat. We had Starbucks cards that people would give it to us for Christmas and stuff. I mean, this was very, let's just say, a passion project. Psalm 1 was.
Yes. But by the time our 1-year anniversary came along, we did have a little funding for the film. And Jason really wanted to do this history segment about the history of wine. It's part of one thing Jason loves about wine. And so he needed to go to Europe. So we didn't actually spend our 1-year anniversary together. But I did spend it alone in the airport flying out to meet him. So him and Jackson spent a week in Italy, and then
it wasn't all bad. You got to, you know, then you landed in Germany.
We traveled through the Mosel, and yes. And I did my first sort of like industry tasting, I guess you'd say.
Right. We were with Jeff Kruth.
And Jeff Kruth.
Jackson Myers and the two of us.
And so. I was waiting for you guys to get in for Italy, and Jeff and I went to this winery, and I think he opened like 20 bottles of Riesling.
Yeah. If you've ever been, if you're a sommelier or you've ever been to a wine tasting or anything, you know that tasting, I mean, some of you have probably done like 100 bottles of Riesling, but just to do 20, it's kind of like, it erases about 4 years of dentist work.
Yes.
But it's worth it because there's some tamper
points. And I remember Jeff saying to me, you should probably start spitting. And it was like my first, because I'd only done like the, you know, tourist Napa, here's your 6 glasses, you know, little taste. But it was definitely a learning experience for me. And then we drove through the Mosel down into France and we went into Burgundy. And I think my favorite day was we went through Beaujolais. Also probably the first time I had heard of Gamay. And there's nothing better than learning about something when you're there and you get really into it. And so we went to Fleury, which is known for kind of having this light red wine that pairs well with chicken. We had a nice lunch. We went to this hill to film beauty shots, went and got a few more bottles of wine. And one of my favorite shots in Psalm was the car we rented had this beautiful sunroof. So someone put a glass of wine on the car, and then Jackson was in the car looking up, and he's like, this is a cool shot.
This is a shot where, if you've seen the film, which I assume you have, there is a wine glass that's just sort of being poured in the middle of space, air. And so it's just one of these shots that kind of came about from us kind of having too many glasses and looking up and seeing a wine glass set on a sunroof and realizing, oh, wow, this is a higher production value shot for nothing. So
it was a really fun trip, and it was a good way, I guess, to celebrate 1 year together.
Right.
Even though we had other people with us.
Yeah, always.
Always. So then in 2012, our second anniversary, I did not get to have any wine. I was 3 months pregnant with our first daughter.
Our first daughter, Ian Cobble. This has been a strange process. I just have to say we now have two children.
Yep.
And they both seem to coincide with making wine films. I'm not sure if there's a coincidence there, but so the first one, our oldest, came when did she come at the release of Psalm 1?
Yes.
We were doing the premieres and
no,
you were.
No, we did. So, okay, in July, in our second anniversary, I was pregnant. And I remember when you met with Mark and Brendan Lorimer about premiering at Napa Valley Film Festival.
The film opened up the Napa Valley Film Festival.
I was so nauseous and sick and puking that I couldn't go to the meeting and Brian went with you.
Brian McClintock, yeah.
Yeah. And there was like, I could not do anything. But that was also about the time that Ian passed. So we had a new and better ending.
Yeah, we waited. Something interesting that happened with the film is we kind of, there were two reasons. One, we didn't have any money to finish the damn thing. And two, which is more important, we sort of gave Ian the respect of let's wait a year and see what can happen. We didn't have distribution. This was a film we made in our spare bedroom. And so the thought was, let's see if he can pull it off. He's put himself through hell taking this, and we've put him through hell following him.
And I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he took that test in July of 2012.
In Dallas. That would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. At the Four Seasons. Same place that the Dallas exam takes place before.
Right. So, and then we had found our composer. We were kind of going through all
I should
of
talk.
That.
I should talk about really fast our composer. You know, you have to realize some of this stuff is just nice to talk about. Because some, you know, most, if you're a filmmaker, a lot of there's miracle. And I think it's the same for a winemaker. Miracle after miracle after miracle. And the only way anything gets done is because of extraordinary generosity and a lot of luck and just no backup plan. And so Christina, while I was in the middle of editing, dragged me to meet her friends at this bar. And I did not want to leave the house. I was working on this film and I was determined to get it right. And we needed a composer. I had nobody to do the music. And so in the back of this bar, there was a jazz trio. And they were really good. And they were playing a Clifford Brown song that I'm a big fan of. And it's not common that you walk in and find three people playing something like Clifford Brown. And so I went up to this drummer who was incredibly talented. And I said, have you ever scored a film? And he said, yeah, one short film in college or something like that. I said, would you be interested in talking to me about my movie? And that's Brian Carmody, who did Psalm 1 and 2, who is an incredibly, ridiculously talented jazz musician. I mean, it was just an amazingly fortuitous situation to work with him.
So, yeah, so that was 2012. I was pregnant at the Napa Valley Film Festival.
Imagine not being able to drink at the premiere of Psalm.
You're making a wine film and you can't drink. It's fun.
Well, you did it again.
So then move forward to 2013. Psalm was released on iTunes and theatrically, I believe, on either June 22nd or 23rd.
I have no idea. It sounds right.
It was the end of June. Maybe it was the 26th. I don't know. It was the end of June. So here we are celebrating our third anniversary, July 17th. And the first time we could have a glass of wine together on July 17th, 3 years after we got married, because you were in Europe for the first one, I was pregnant for the second one. You know, Psalm released, it was doing well. Ian had gotten a job at Krug.
After he passed.
Correct. And after Psalm had come out. And Krug was very sweet and wonderful, and they sent us a case of wine and a really nice little baby gift.
No, they sent us a bottle of wine, not a case of wine.
No, they sent a case.
No, they sent a case for the premiere and at the party.
And I swirled one bottle away.
So you stole a bottle of wine.
I stole a bottle of wine.
Well, I mean, but so
I
she stole a bottle of wine.
Well, during the premiere. So I felt like I was entitled to that bottle.
You are entitled.
It just took, 6 months for me to actually enjoy it.
I just emailed Olivia Krug and I'm calling the cops.
So I'm pretty sure we drank Krug on our third wedding anniversary.
I think these films have definitely upped my ability to drink wine, especially when my wife steals it. All right, so 2014.
So 2014, I don't actually remember what we did on our anniversary, but 5 days later, we flew to France again.
Yeah, that's right. So 2014, our anniversary, I flew to France.
We flew together. We went to Brittany first.
Uh-huh.
And that was kind of our anniversary trip.
Which we shot stuff for Delicacy with Oysters while we were there. Yes. Which is another thing another coming film, that we can talk about later.
And we were filming for Psalm 2. So by the time 2014 rolled around, I think it was in June of 2014, we kind of said, okay, this is what we're doing. In between 2013 and 2014, I was working at TV Guide in 2013. Jason was at Yahoo. By the time 2014 rolled around, I had lost my job and so did Jason. So we were kind of in everything now for ourselves. Psalm had proved to be somewhat successful. And so, you know, our distributor wanted a second film. So we're like, great, let's jump in and do this.
I think it was a little different than that. I said, hell effing no. I said, no more of this wine film. I mean, Psalm 1 was an excruciatingly tough film. I had no idea what was coming, though. And Psalm 2...
was harder.
Oh, there's not even... I mean, Psalm 2, I will probably, hopefully die many, many years from now. Okay, I want to take a quick tangent here. The last film, we're about to complete a film called The Delicacy, and it involves sea urchin divers. And I literally, and I say this completely and totally, I literally almost died on this film. I had a horrible scuba diving accident, and it's about sea urchin divers, involves great white sharks, and, you know, all sorts of stuff. And I can tell you right now, I'd make that film five more times than I would make Psalm 2 again. I mean, Psalm 2 was the biggest... It was a very difficult movie, but I am immensely proud of it, and I adore everybody that worked on it. It was a great experience. I just mean it from a standpoint of organization, and without you, right. If you weren't there to take that film and make all the insanity that I filmed and what was in my head make sense, it never would have been anything. So you...
And that really, well, that goes to 2015.
Yeah, well...
2014, we started filming Delicacy, Wait for Your Laugh, the film about Rosemary, and Psalm Into the Bottle. So we were kind of, at that point, we were kind of like googly-eyed, oh, we can do all this, we can make all
and
these,
and a film called Art of Butchery, too. So, I mean, there was another project in there. I mean, this was a full tilt boogie. We were working on a ton of stuff. And I don't know if anybody listening has seen our production company made a film called Wait for Your Laugh, which was about an actress named Rosemary. It's not about wine. Currently, I think it's the only film we've theatrically released that was not about wine, but
right.
You should watch it. It's a good film. Anyways.
So 2014 was like, yay, we're going to France. Yay, we're filming. 2015, the week before we had finished our last interview with Brian, and when we celebrated our fifth year anniversary, we were in the mud with Into the Bottle. I believe we had it done and to our distributor at the end of August. So we were deep in the edit process and coming down to get this film right. And it was a very hard process. And one thing we had to do is when we split it into chapters, we kind of had to say, make sure each chapter had a beginning, middle, and end. So 2014 was our like, yay, we want to be full-time filmmakers. 2015 was like, oh shit, this is hard. But we were also really proud of what we, you know, ended up coming up with.
You have to understand, I know that we've, you know, all this stuff has been talked about ad nauseum. You know, if you've listened to my interviews and everything like that, I mean, it's hard to stop talking about it because this stuff is pretty intense to make. These movies are, you live them, you breathe them, you sleep on the floors of the people that are in them, blah, blah, blah.
But I also think a lot of this is sometimes like marriage. I mean, there's like the happy honeymoon phase, and then there's the like, oh, we've got real shit we got to get through.
We have never dealt with real shit, you and I. It's always been honeymoon. Okay, so when Psalm Into the Bottle was finished, we had the task of showing it to our distributors, Samuel Golden Films, and bless their hearts, they're wonderful. But I was hell-bent on not doing the same thing. I did not want to make another movie that followed people. So I wanted to make this large scope kind of a thing that looked at everything, you know, all over the map. And it's kind of the way my brain works is very, it's just, I don't know, whatever. Okay, so we showed it to Goldwyn and we walk into this room. It is this little theater and they are kind of sitting there. It's the top people at the company. And we walk in the screening room, we set everything up and we start playing it, and Christine and I are sitting behind them, and of course, we are not watching the film. We're just watching everybody's reaction to the movie. And when I say there wasn't a reaction at all, it's pretty much
very quiet.
Very quiet. It's the exact same version that was seen, right? Final version. For all intents and purposes, a final version. Yeah. And I don't know if it had the final
score.
The artwork
wasn't in there, but...
Okay, but it was essentially the same movie. And so that film had no response. It was just the lights come up at the end, and they just looked... It's kind of like, you thought you were going to get a... I ordered dessert and somebody brought you vegetables. And so...
Well, I do think it's important to note, we had shown them a version in May that they did not like. So this is our second go around.
Right. Well, it's a complicated film. So in films, if you are not a filmmaker, films, they have to transform, especially documentaries. So it's not just because somebody doesn't like a film doesn't mean really anything. And I'll tell you something about the business that I've learned. Nobody knows anything anyway. So, but anyways, we showed the movie to Goldwyn, and they basically, lights come up and they go, they kind of had this look of like defeat. And I said, what's wrong? They said, you know, you went and you made a smart film, and now we don't know what to do. And I said, well, what do you mean? They basically said, you went and you made a smart film. We have to try to figure out how to sell a smart film. And I thought, isn't that good? I mean, they wanted a bunch of guys giving each other shit. But I think they expected that. And to be honest with you, it was like the furthest thing from what I wanted to make. And I'm sure what anybody in it wanted to do. So, but at the same time, there was a very interesting process that happened with Into the Bottle, in that it came out, and while we were terrified of the structure, you know, no main character and all this stuff, it did very well. I mean, people received it, and I think, you know, audiences really liked it, and critics kind of... Actually, the films were really well reviewed. I should be very proud of this film, and I am.
No, we are.
So, yeah. Anyways, okay, so what's the next year? What other kind of pain did we put ourselves through?
So, Psalm in a Bottle came out in the end of January of 2016. And once again, I find myself pregnant and promoting a wine film, unable to drink.
Sorry.
By the time July of 2016 rolled around, we were working on Wait for Your Laugh, the Rosemary film, and I was very pregnant.
Please, you guys watch this film. It's on Amazon Prime and it's on DVD and whatever else. It is it's an important film, important lady. Anyways, keep going.
Our second daughter was born August 23rd. So she was due September 15th. My labor sort of started in early August. And at 35 weeks, they had to stop labor. You know, it's hard to work. You're working on a film. You're super pregnant. I was put on bed rest. And so when we finally did have Madeline, I think I took 2 weeks just to chill. And then by the third week, I was editing with a baby, wearing a baby. You know?
I think that, so you made Wait for Your Laugh with a baby.
In my arms, like
Your arms. Yeah. And our edit bay was in our garage. It was a very homegrown situation. Yes. In fact, all of these films have been that way. Part of why this matters for Psalm TV is we released Wait for Your Laugh, which when you make films, I have to state this, when you make a film, it's a very personal thing for me, in that I kind of live this stuff. And Wait for Your Laugh, though it's not about wine, it is maybe sentimentally and from a filmmaking standpoint, I think potentially the best thing that I've ever made. And I am the most proud of it. And I fell so deeply in love with the subject, this woman, Rosemary, who passed away at 94, who was an incredibly important woman. And I think everybody should know who she is and blah, blah, blah. So we did this thing with it, and she was coming to the end of her life, and we got it out as fast as we could. And with Psalm 1, it went to theaters, but also iTunes at the same time. We kind of did this new hybrid thing that existed at that time.
No. You gotta pause a year. Okay. You're jumping ahead to 2017.
Okay. So 2016, we're making the damn movie with baby in tow?
So 2016, we are making Wait for Your Laugh, but we were also just trying, I was trying not to have a baby too early. So no, again, no wine on that anniversary.
Right.
But then go forward to 2017. And now we have two kids, and we've been at this filmmaking thing for a little bit. And we start our own production company. Forgotten Films was started in May of 2017. So for our July wedding anniversary, we had a company for 2 months now. We had two little kids now. But when we started our company, we said, you know, we've got this film about sea urchin divers. We have a film about Rosemary. And our investors were like, great, we want a third Psalm movie.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is, I don't think it was even from a money-making standpoint at all. It was just they really, Everybody kind of wanted to know what everyone was up to. I mean, I've told this story numerous times, especially in the first podcast episode with Brian, about how it came about. And they just sort of said I could do whatever I wanted. And Psalm 3 came about. Now, I do have to say, Psalm 2 was very hard to make. It was downright brutal.
But we took a break.
We did take a break.
I think taking a break and making
doing
my crew
something
laugh,
that was not a wine film. Yes.
It really kind of helped us, I don't know, find clarity, figure out, okay, I can do this in a different genre. Maybe it's a good time to go back to this. But when it came to about July, so now we had our company, it really started at the end of May. We're not even barely there for 2 months. And we're thinking, okay, we've got to make Psalm 3. What do we do? We had this idea of putting people at a table. And in July of 2017, we kind of said, let's reach out to Jancis Robinson. Let's reach out to Steven Spurrier. Because by September, you were filming with them for Psalm 3.
Right.
So we were booking everything. And that was kind of like, we didn't feel super confident of our roles in this and getting for them to agree. And then when they did, we were kind of like, oh, shit. This is awesome. Like, they want to, you know, they want to do this with us.
Yeah, I think, you know, as I've stated before, Psalm 3 was an incredibly enjoyable experience. And
very much
it was one that you took the horns on and we were organized and we kind of, I mean, I don't, you know, again, this is separate from what, I don't know what people think of the film. I think, you know, but for me as a filmmaker, it was certainly my favorite to make. It was a movie I enjoyed making. I truly loved everybody that worked in it. And we were very, very, very surrounded by a loving team of people. And so it was pretty wonderful.
Yes. And I just remember being so thrilled when Steven and Jancis said yes. And I will say I'm very jealous that Jason got to go spend the weekend with Steven and Bella. I often, now with two little kids, I had to stay home. So I don't get to go to these Europe trips as much as I used to in the first few years that we were making these movies.
I think this is one of the hardest things working with your spouse is that somebody has to stay home with the kids.
Yes.
And it does, by the way, it's not always you. Sometimes it's me. It just depends on completely what the circumstances are. But
when
I'm directing a film.
Yeah, the 9 to 5, it's not stay home with the kids through the 9 to 5. It's stay home with the kids during the 2-week European trip, you know.
Yeah.
That's a lot harder to put your kids somewhere, you know.
Yeah, it's a really tricky thing to say, you know, I mean, it's when the head producer is married to the director of a film, it puts the movie in an awkward position because both of those people should be on set. But oftentimes, the producer is not always on set, you know. I mean, if they trust the director and they know what's going on, then you don't have to be on set. It's unfortunate you have to be with, you know, little kids.
Yeah, well, but I also have probably better communication with you over.
Fair enough.
You know, like I'm an executive producer that knows anything and everything doing.
I certainly fear you. There's no question. okay, so we make Psalm 3, right? And part of the thing is, I want to go back to Wait for Your Laugh for 1 second. Uh-huh. We released that film. And we did it in a manner that was what I would call relatively traditional.
Yes.
Rosemary's health started to decline. She was 94, so it doesn't seem like a surprise, but it was very jolting for all of us who cared about her. You know, as that happened, we put together a theatrical release, and like a traditional one. One where I think a lot of people who don't understand the film business don't know that it is incredibly nuanced and political and expensive to put movies in theaters. And what theaters take it and why, and then how do you fill those seats and whatever. I mean, all that stuff is a thing unto itself. And so we did that movie traditionally. And we went for awards and we did the whole thing, which was appropriate, and I don't regret that at all. But from a standpoint of how the world is changing and, you know, profitability and a number of other things, we decided that the next film, we were not going to do this way. We wanted to go.
It was a hard release. It was.
And also, you know, she passed away in the middle, which made it even harder. It was very emotionally difficult to see her go. But she got to see a film about herself at the end of her life, which I think, well, you know, it might be the one thing I get into heaven for. they'll turn me away when they look deeper. But the truth is, with Psalm 3, we kind of walked into it saying, you know what? Screw it. We are not going to do this traditional manner. We're not going to do it. We're not going to. Now, it did play in theaters. Don't get me wrong. Psalm 3 did, but it did a lot of screenings where we were able to really connect to a core fan base. or, you know, people who just truly love the medium. I don't know about fans, but people who love wine, people who love, are willing to go out, get a babysitter. Because when you're asking people to go out nowadays, it's a big ask. Yes. And we know with people, as the two of us have two little kids, so it has to be a special movie or a special situation for us to be able to leave the house. Because I don't think a lot of people talk about this, but it's, I want to be with my kids. I don't want to go out. I want to be home with them. And I travel a lot for work, and I'm sure a lot of people listening can relate. You want to be with the people you want to be with. And so we made this decision with Psalm 3 that we were going to release it and
Do, you're jumping to 2018.
Well, for crying out loud, keep me on task here.
Okay. 2017, we're planning Psalm 3. We were also planning our first screening of Wait for Your Laugh. So that's why we kind of wanted to do this whole traditional thing. We learned a lot in that 1 year. So when 2018 came along and Psalm 3 was finished, in fact, I believe we picture locked right before our anniversary, we had told our distributor the film would be due to them July 1st, 2018. My brother passed at the end of June. So we had a little bit of a delay, but
getting personal here.
We did finish the film by July 15th. I remember it was only like a 2 week. I didn't feel so guilty because it was only a 2 week delay of when we finished. And, you know, but now we have a finished film that we have to promote again. And I remember it rained. Okay, it doesn't rain a lot in California, LA.
Los Angeles.
It doesn't rain in July, you know. And I remember it was a rainy day and Jason was on the phone with Clodoval the day after our anniversary.
It was Clodoval unwillingly, or not unwillingly, but like they ended up in the film. It was not a planned thing, you know. I constantly state this, that we are not, you know, we don't take sponsorship. Nobody, you know, we never, ever have taken money from anybody who's in our films. It's just never happened. Regardless of, you know, how things turn out in our films or who's in them, they're sort of just, you know, we've just never done that. Our hands are clean in that regard. So Clodoval ended up in the film and I reached out to them about what if we did the premiere there instead of going the festival route, instead of doing some really expensive.
And this is middle of July. We wanted to premiere.
Which our first podcast that I did, I should say, that with Brian and I, the first episode takes place the morning after this premiere Christina's talking about. So
in September. So we didn't want to wait till November, January. We wanted to kind of get the ball moving. And so that was kind of how that all started right around our anniversary 1 year ago.
And the film rolled out. We played all over the place, all over the world, actually, Europe and Canada. We met incredibly wonderful people throughout this process all over the world. And we found something very, very interesting with the Psalm movies that people, I know this is going to sound to people who are listening to this, you might go, I get it, you know, whatever, but people like them, you know, and to, as filmmakers, it meant a lot to see people go, I'm going to get off my butt.
But it was weird also in that, like, we had, you know, a couple came up to you and said, Psalm was our first date.
Yeah, we had a lot of that, actually.
You know, and like all these things where these people had this connection, this personal connection to.
And they have connections to the people that are in it, too. They really want to know, what are people doing now? And, you know, I think that it's something you can't take for granted as a filmmaker, and that people connect to your characters who are real people.
Right.
You know, it's absolutely one thing if you make, you know, The Godfather, or you make, or you're doing a reality show, or, but when you make a documentary and you make it the way we did, which is you have no idea if it's going to be successful, you don't have any money, and it still resonates, you don't take that for granted. And for us to have released a film, 6 years? I don't even know. What, Psalm 3 came out 7 years after the first one, six years. And for that to have a resonation or a, you know, resonate like that, it's truly an incredible experience. And so, you know, I'd be at screenings and there would be NBA players at the screenings. And they would go, I'm a big fan of these films. I couldn't wait to see the third one. I'm like, what? And there would be, you know, there would be a couple.
This didn't happen with Into the Bottle.
No, it did not. But so, with Psalm 3, I mean,
there were... With Psalm 3, we all these people kind of, we just realized that they, oh my gosh, they care.
Yeah, they care. And so, we have spent a lot of time, and this is going to take us to, are we now at our current anniversary?
So we are now at our current anniversary. Well, Blinders came out also.
We did a card game, which was a wacky idea. We made this card game called Blinders, which I wish I could tell you where to buy it, but it's sold out so fast that we don't have any copies, but we're working on it.
But I spent July of last year really trying to figure out gameplay, what the
Some of you know, we created a blind tasting card game. And some of you have it. Some of you know about it. We're going to get more, I promise. We just have to figure out how to do it or get it in time. It's not as simple as it may seem. But anywho.
It's been a learning curve.
It's been a learning curve. And that was our first foray into anything with the brand outside of movies.
But also, okay, so when we sold out and we sold to every state except for, was it?
North Dakota.
And then 30-something
countries.
You're
talking about the card game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we only sold it really through Kickstarter and our social media. So it was shocking to us how many people around the world had been interested in our films. We got a lot of messages. We're promoting Psalm 3. People are coming up and talking to us. And we're kind of like, oh my gosh, we sort of have something here. And then people want to learn. They want to understand wine. They want to know more about wine. They want more stories. They want more...
Yeah, and we also have, you know, over the course of making these films, and, you know, the fact that we're also making two food-themed films as well, and, you know, a number of other projects, we started realizing we don't want to wait for somebody to tell us when we're allowed to release these projects or if we're even allowed to make them. We made a decision that it was kind of like, we know there's an audience, and you know what? We also are prepared to fail. And so you don't get to do that when you are going... hey, distributor, or hey, X and Y. And to be honest, there's no right or wrong way to distribute a film. There is, you know, it's a very complicated process. So I don't want to say that, you know, abandon distribution or that's not what I'm trying to say. But what I am trying to say is in our unique case, we wanted to go and make stuff and stop sitting around and thinking, should we, can we?
I think one of the biggest lessons from Psalm Into the Bottle and having those 10 chapters, those are 10 separate stories. We see a lot of stories that we want to tell that don't fit into a 90-minute three-act structure. So it is hard to create a film based on all of this. So when we sort of started talking about the idea of Psalm TV, we realized we could tell all these incredible stories of winemakers, of sommeliers, of chefs, and these people that, you know, really like work so hard and they have an interesting story to tell, but we don't have to put it into a 90-minute condense with this and a theme and go out to theaters and do all this. We can give a really entertaining 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes through Psalm TV. Yeah,
there's
and
a lot
of, more of
there's
it.
A lot of stuff. So I think now, today's our anniversary, I think we should talk about Psalm TV and kind of what it is. I'm going to do my best here because this is... I think we've had at least two glasses of wine during this podcast, so I will do my best here. This is a full streaming network, okay? In the way that I'm not, it's not Netflix, it's not Hulu, but it is in the same exact kind of a thing. It will be an app you can get on your phone, on your smart TV, on your Apple TV, on your Amazon Fire, on your Roku, and then also on your computer. So it'll be at www.somtv.com, you know, where you will go and you'll sign up. And we've set our pricing at $75 for the year and $9.99 a month, which there's a lot of thinking behind why. For the first 6 months, we're going to have what we're calling a charter membership. You know, a lot of our stuff is in various stages of production. There's going to be a lot on release, but there's going to be stuff coming constantly, you know, from an educational standpoint, from entertainment standpoint, some licensed stuff. It's kind of very, very tightly curated and created stuff. I mean, we have our hands all over the place in social media, and we see all these people who are making things in the food and wine space that don't have an outlet to show it. And so we really want to bring these particular things to wider audiences. We got a lot of questions when I started bringing up Psalm TV. Some people thought the podcasts were Psalm TV. Some people thought, okay, so that just the films are there. So let me run through this. Yes, we have new shows. There are completely original new shows. One of them is called Verticals. If you liked Into the Bottle, it's similar, but it's a little more personal. It involves telling a winery story or a person's story through different vintages of their life. The first season is done. We are working through post-production on that. Another is something called Cellar Stories, where we track the entire story of an individual bottle. And sometimes that goes through world wars. Sometimes it goes through counterfeiting. Sometimes it goes through just a weird, how the hell did it get in this one place? And so that is another show we have coming. And we're not going to do the binge watch mode. We will in some cases where we'll release a season at once. But in some cases, we will release an episode. And when the next one is ready, we will release that. We have beauty reels, which we're calling Wine is Beautiful, which is something you put on your television that is essentially beautiful footage from around the world, and in some cases, hours of it. So if you're studying for an exam or you just want something pretty on your TV in the great wine regions of the world, you can just put it on.
It's great for parties.
Yeah, no, we do. Like, we've actually started doing it ourselves, which we can't believe. To give an idea, and then there's also going to be
A lot of tastings.
We have a whole series on blind tasting where, you know, everybody from celebrities to people in the wine business to chefs and things, they sit down together and they blind taste each other on wines. And it's half a conversation, half a blind tasting, half learning about the wines. We also have all of the blind tastings that have happened in all of our films and non-blind tastings, just tastings in general, in the long form that we were unable to show. So one big question we got was, will I be able to see the tastings from Psalm 1? So where Dustin and Ian and Brian sat down with masters and tasted with them and learned how to do it. The answer is 100% yes. So those will be up there on launch, and more will be coming as it goes through. Another question was, can we see the full New York tasting from Psalm 3? The answer is yes, that will be there. Can we see Jancis, Fred, and Steven taste through their bottles in a more long-form format? The answer is yes. So a lot of it is going to be used. And we also have, like I said earlier, a kind of a prequel to Psalm 1.
There's a lot of tasting. So when we figure out these films, we sort of get these guys together. We do tastings. And all three of the films, there have been scenes that did not make it in. So we had all this content that we were kind of like, what do we do with this? And it'll be up there.
Yeah. And in a lot of cases, some of it ranges from here's a weird scene that didn't have a home to here's a completely new thing that we thought of since we've been thinking about this scene. Because you have to understand, as a filmmaker, you make these things and you want people to see them. And you want them to have meaning. And so they mull, you grind your teeth at night and you go, how does this fit somewhere and where does it go? And I think this is where Psalm TV kind of came about. One other thing I should talk about is a question, a big one. Is this worldwide? And the answer is yes. Some material, because of licensing restrictions, will be in certain territories and not. But for the most part, everything will be available everywhere. Many people have asked, especially the Netherlands, the Nordic countries, how can I see Psalm 3? Well, here you go. The three Psalm movies will be available worldwide on this outside of the United States to start. You know, I'm trying to do this, you know, explain what this thing is the best I can.
I think you're doing a good job.
Thanks. Two glasses of wine in. What other questions? We had a question in regards to, will there be subtitles? Yes. And we will be monitoring certain countries that are watching all of the content. And let's say Brazil is really, really watching our content and requesting subtitles, we will start subtitling in Brazilian Portuguese. So we really are looking for feedback on a lot of this stuff, and we are listening to people who are going to be watching. August 4th, and potentially earlier, especially if you listen to this podcast or sign up for our email list, somtv.com, we will be launching. And $75 for the year, which is, you know, depending on where you live, one or two bottles of wine in a restaurant, I think that is relatively agreeable.
Yes.
And so for that, for a year, you can end up with all this educational content and it will continue to go. And we're going to cover events around the wine and food space. And I really, really cannot wait to continue this podcast to dive deep into some of the shows we're going to release, because some of them are miraculous in their existence. And, you know, a lot of our feature films that are in production, one of which has been almost 6 years, The Delicacy, we'll have a series that spins off of it and that will also be there.
Well, so, we have a lot of stuff, a lot of fun things planned, and we will continue to announce once we get a little further along, but there's definitely some really fun shows, both entertainment and educational, in the pipeline.
It's truly an honor. This podcast in its own will be used to tell a lot of stories around the wine world. We just wanted to take this one moment to kind of go through Christina's and my relationship and, you know, why we do what we do, and then also bring it to Psalm TV.
I know what we're missing.
What?
What are we going to drink tonight?
For our anniversary?
Yeah.
That's a really good question. What are we going to drink tonight?
Bubbles.
Champagne? Okay. What champagne?
I don't know.
We're going to go find some champagne. I really appreciate you guys very much. Thank you so much. And don't forget to go to somtv.com, put your email address in, and be nice to your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend, because they put up with a lot of shit you give them.
Very true.
Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. Please don't forget to go to somtv.com and register on our email list. And get ready for August 4th. We're going to be launching our charter membership, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see where this thing goes. Okay, see you next week.